I would like to read the scripture reading. I would like to read the scripture for today's lesson. Today's lesson is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Actually, today's lesson is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, as you can see on the church bulletin. I would like to read verses 9 to 12. But my lesson is actually from verses 7 to 21. But at this time, I would like to read verses 9 to 12. The letter of John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Okay, I would like to move to today's lesson. And today's lesson is from 1 John chapter 7, verses 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, 21. It is often said that Christianity is the religion of love. It is often said that Christianity is the religion of love. But there are different kinds of love in this world. So when you say love, it could mean many things. And what kind of love is Christianity about? I'm sure most of us in this room know that kind of love the Bible teaches, but in the secular world, love could mean quite differently. For example, I love Mexican food. I love Mexican food. Especially, I love enchiladas. But my love for Mexican food, is my love for Mexican food the same kind of love that the Bible talks about? Not really. So there are a few different types of love. In English, the word love covers different types of love, but as you may know, in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, there are a few different words for love, and as you probably know. But let's review the different types of love in Greek words. The first one is philia. Philia refers to a kind of love between close friends. So philia is like a strong friendship. The second one is eros. Eros has to do with a sexual relationship. And the third one is agape. Agape is a kind of love that is unconditional love that does not expect any reward, and that is the love of God revealed through Jesus Christ, and the love that the Bible teaches us. In a sense, we could even say the entire Bible is about the love of God, the agape love. So, one of the most important theme in the Bible is the love of God, the love of agape, God's love, but especially first letter of John talks about love. You can see God's love mentioned in everywhere in the Bible, but especially in the letter, first letter of John, you can see God's love mentioned and emphasized. In fact, the word love appears relatively more often in 1 John than other books in the Bible, especially when it comes to the noun form, not verb, but a noun form of the love. Roughly about 80% of the words love in the New Testament are in the letters of John. Today, we are given 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to actually 7 to 21, and in the passage, we can find the word of love 27 times, nouns and verbs included. But I counted in the English, so I didn't have time to count in Greek, so maybe the number might be slightly different, but at least when I counted in the NIV Bible, I found 27 words of love in today's passage. So, out of our passage today, we would like to reflect on the agape love, God's love. And the points I'd like to make today are the following 2 points. First point is we exist in order to be loved by God. And the second point is God wants us to love one another by sharing his love. Today's first point, we exist in order to be loved by God. Meanwhile, let's take a moment and think about the very basic nature of love. Maybe this is kind of too obvious, but a very basic nature of love. This is quite obvious, but one of the very basic nature of love is that love requires an object. Love requires an object. What I mean by that is we love something or we love someone. Love needs something or someone to be loved. In that sense, love requires an object or object. For example, if someone says to me, he loves, if someone says to me, he loves, then my response would be, he loves what? Or he loves who? Whom? So essentially, love requires something that is to be loved. In today's passage, John says, God is love, especially in verses 8 and 16. So, if so, there must be the object of God's love. The object of God's love, that is us, humans. We are created by God, and each and every one of us came to exist in this world by the hand of God. But why did God create us? Why did God create us? Why were we given life? That's because God is essentially love, and the object of God's love is us, humans. We are created to be loved by God. So we are loved by God. That's why we exist. In other words, we don't just happen to exist. There is a reason for our existence. Each and every one of us is given life because each and every one of us is loved by God. So, God loves us, and in order to be loved by God, we are created. So God's love is poured out first. There is a flow of love, as it were. Love comes from God before we love God or we share His love with other people. John says in verse 7, love comes from God. Verse 9, God showed His love. Verse 10, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And verse 11, God so loved us. Verse 16, we know and rely on the love of God has for us. And verse 19, He first loved us. So as I mentioned, there is a flow in love. God loves us. So God first loves us. He takes the initiative. In that way, we are to be loved by Him. Like verses 10 and 19 emphasize, we are loved by God not because we love God. Of course, we can love God, and in fact, we are called to love God, but our love for God is not the reason God loves us. Before we love God, He loves us. And He always loves us, no matter what our attitude toward God is. In other words, knowing all the weaknesses and sins of ours, He loves each and every one of us. As we reflect on our weaknesses and sins, and we may feel as if I don't deserve God's love. Peter said to Jesus, when he still did not understand the love of Jesus very well, Peter said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." But no matter how weak we are and no matter how sinful we are, God still loves us. Once again, we are created to be loved by God. However, no matter how much we are loved by God, our sins lead us to the eternal death. We might be tempted to think as if God loves us so much, then everyone will be accepted in heaven as His children as they are. But that kind of idea is not really biblical. God loves us, that's true, but our sins need to be washed away. So, in order for the forgiveness of our sins, God willingly sacrificed His only Son. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ was about. And through that event, the cross of Jesus, God's love is most clearly and powerfully revealed. John writes in today's passage, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Let's move on to today's second point. That is, God wants us to love one another by sharing his love. Like I explained, God pours out his unconditional love and God takes the initiative. But that does not mean we cannot respond to God. Because God's love is unconditional, our response to him does not affect his love toward us. But God wants us to share his love with one another by loving one another. Earlier, I mentioned Peter, who almost rejected Jesus' love, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Peter did not think he deserved the love of God, but no matter how weak and sinful Peter was, God always poured out his love on Peter. But the same God also gave Peter opportunities to respond to God's love. For example, Jesus said to Peter, when Jesus' cross was near, Jesus said to Peter, "When you have turned back, strengthen your brother." Jesus said this almost right before Peter's denial of Christ. So again, Jesus completely knew the weaknesses and sins of Peter. But Jesus invites Peter to a way of living that cares for others. Peter was invited to respond to God's love by loving others. Similarly, God calls us to love one another as our response to God's love towards us. John writes in today's passage as follows. In verse 7, he writes, "Let us love one another." Verse 11, "We also ought to love one another." And verse 21, "Anyone who loves God," that is we as Christians, "must also love their brother and sister." Once again, it is not that we love one another and then God loves us, but God loves first. And as we realize his love deeply, we are transformed by his love and we become willing to love one another. That's why John says, in verse 11, "Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Out of our passage today, we reflected on the following two points today. We exist in order to be loved by God. We are loved by God. And secondly, God wants us to love one another by sharing his love. So God loves us first, and we receive God's love. Then we are able to share God's love with one another by sharing God's love. And when we do so, John says, God's love is completed. Verse 12, John writes, "If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Here, to complete means to achieve the purpose of God's love. God's love is to be shared. And when God's love is practiced and shared by us, the purpose of God's love is fulfilled. As we start a new week, let us remember that each and every one of us is deeply loved by God. The depth of God's love is revealed at the cross of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, who was sacrificed for our salvation. And let us remain in his love and share his love with one another. Thank you very much.